So what if I told you that a hyperscale artificial intelligence cluster training some new corporate chatbot out in Silicon Valley just made your dream gaming PC 30% more expensive, like overnight?
Yeah, it is an absolute gut punch for anyone in the consumer hardware space right now.
I mean, imagine you've been meticulously saving up for months, you know, you've got your spreadsheets built, you've watched the reviews. And you are finally ready to pull the trigger on a custom rig or a next generation laptop. You log on to check the prices today in August 2026, and suddenly the very same hardware you were looking at yesterday has just completely skyrocketed.
Right, you check your math, you refresh the page. But the numbers haven't changed.
Yeah, and there is no seasonal sale coming to save you.
Exactly. The global supply chain has just radically shifted in a matter of weeks.
It's brutal. And that is exactly what we are unpacking in today's deep dive. We are looking at this massive structural market shift in the gaming hardware world.
And we really have some incredible data to work with today.
We do. All of our insights today are drawn from a comprehensive new teardown published by Tech and Analysis. They've fully documented this sudden AMD and NVIDIA GPU price shock, complete with, you know, supply chain telemetry and market forecasting. So our mission today is to figure out the mechanics behind this chaos and, more importantly, how you actually navigate it.
Well, what's fascinating here is that if you zoom out and look at the macro view, picture the massive semiconductor foundries, the multi-billion dollar clean rooms, the microscopic architecture of a silicon wafer. This isn't really a story about video games.
It's so much bigger than that.
It is. We are witnessing a profound collision between consumer entertainment and the enterprise artificial intelligence boom.
Yeah.
And, well, the consumer is losing.
Big time. I was looking at the tech and data before we started, and I almost did a spit take. I mean, we are talking about a 25 to 30% price increase on NVIDIA's high-end RTX 5080 and the flagship 5090.
It's staggering.
It pushes a flagship card so far into the stratosphere, it almost feels like a typo.
And the thing is, the sticker shock is sweeping across the entire board. That 30% figure on the ultra high end, it actually masks a deeper issue, which is the floor coming up.
What do you mean by the floor coming up?
Well, the mid-range NVIDIA cards, right? The RTX 5060 and 5070, those have been hit with a 20 to 25% upward adjustment too. So the new post-hike base manufacturers suggested retail price for the RTX 50 series is now sitting at $650.
Wait, $650. So the absolute baseline entry point to just get in the door is now 650 bucks.
Exactly. It's a massive barrier to entry.
But let's look at the other side of the duopoly. Earlier in 2026, AMD was clearly trying to gain market share by keeping their pricing stable. Why didn't they just, you know, eat the loss temporarily, play the good guy, and steal all of NVIDIA's alienated customers?
It's a great question, but according to the supply chain reports referenced in the Tekken analysis, specifically from hardware analyst Haruka's M5719 AMD's strategy of maintaining stable pricing just became entirely unsustainable at a physical manufacturing level.
Unsustainable how? Like, they were losing money.
Pretty much. The procurement costs for raw materials were rising so aggressively that AMD was facing severe margin erosion.
Oh, wow. So they were heading toward negative unit economics. Like, they were going to start losing money on every single card they manufactured because the individual parts cost more than the retail price of the assembled unit.
Yeah, that is the grim reality of hardware economics right now.
Yeah.
They waited for NVIDIA's initial moves, but eventually they were forced to recalibrate immediately just to survive.
So what did AMD end up doing?
They implemented a minimum 10% increase across their Radeon lineups. For the high-end RX 8800 XT, it's a 15 to 20% increase, and the mainstream RX 8600 and 8700 saw a 10 to 15% bump. That brings the base MSRP for the RX 8000 series up to $550.
So both of these massive tech giants are hiking prices simultaneously and basically setting fire to all that goodwill with their consumer base. There has to be a physical bottleneck forcing their hands,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
I mean, we know it's memory. The Tekken report points to a severe global video memory shortage, VRAM. Samsung, the world's leading supplier of VRAM, implemented a massive 20% price increase on memory modules this August.
Right, a 20% hike on a single vital component.
Yeah, so why is Samsung doing that? Why the sudden spike?
Well, the primary driver is the hyperscale tech enterprises.
Yeah.
These companies are expanding their AI model training infrastructure at just an unprecedented rate. And those models, they require highly specialized, high bandwidth memory.
The enterprise grade stuff.
Exactly. We are talking about enterprise grade silicon, specifically HBM3E and HBM4 memory. The demand is so intense that the major foundries, Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron, are prioritizing the production of this enterprise silicon over everything else.
You know, I always pictured foundry capacity sort of like waiting outside a crowded nightclub. Mm. Consumers wanting standard GDDR6 memory for a gaming PC are shivering out in the general admission line.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And meanwhile, the massive AI companies are the VIPs buying bottle service, buying up all the HBM3E, and the bouncer, in this case, the silicon foundries, is only letting the VIPs inside.
That is a remarkably accurate analogy. But, you know, while the VIP analogy captures the priority, we also have to look at the mechanical reality of a foundry to understand why they can't just build a second nightclub.
Right, because you can't just pop up a new factory overnight.
Exactly. A silicon foundry is more like prime Manhattan real estate. You have a fixed amount of incredibly expensive land, in this case, silicon wafers.
Yeah.
You can't just spin up a new fabrication plant to meet demand. I mean, it takes 5 years and $15 billion to build a new EUV lithography facility.
Wow. Which means the foundries have a hard cap on how many silicon wafers they can print per month.
Precisely. And when forced to choose how to use that fixed real estate, the foundries look at profit margins. High bandwidth memory, HBM3E, is really complex. It involves stacking memory dies vertically and connecting them with these microscopic through silicon vias.
Sounds incredibly difficult to manufacture.
It is, and it takes up a massive amount of wafer space. But the enterprise AI companies are willing to pay astronomical premiums for it. In fact, the Tekken Report notes that HBM3E and HBM4 demand for AI accelerators is seeing a 40% annual growth rate.
So if you are Samsung and an AI giant is offering you triple the profit margin to use your Manhattan real estate to build luxury high-rise AI condos, you're obviously going to stop building the modest single-family homes, which would be the standard GDDR6 memory for gamers.
Exactly. That reallocation simply starves the supply of consumer video memory. Standard GDDR6 and the next generation GDDR7 are suddenly scarce because fewer production lines are dedicated to them.
And scarcity drives up the price.
Unbelievably so. GDDR7, which powers the flagship 2026 gaming GPUs, is seeing 25 to 30% price growth. Standard GDDR6 saw a 15% spike this August, and GDDR6X saw a 20% spike.
That is just wild.
Yeah, and because of these component cost increases, VRAM now accounts for its highest percentage of total GPU manufacturing costs, the bill of materials, or BOM in over a decade.
Okay, so Samsung raises the raw memory cost by 20% because the AI VIPs bought up all the real estate. But why does the final graphics card go up 30%?
Well, that comes down to the middlemen.
Right, because we always hear about AIB's add-in board partners like Asus, MSI, Gigabyte, and Geotac. They buy the processor from NVIDIA, the memory from Samsung, and assemble the final product. Shouldn't they have some kind of financial shock absorber to keep prices somewhat stable for you and me, the retail consumer?
You would think so. But the fundamental flaw in that expectation is misunderstanding the leverage those AIBs actually have. They operate on incredibly tight profit margins.
How tight are we talking?
Historically, an AIB's net profit margin is constrained between just 3% and 7%.
Wait, really? Just 3 to 7%?
Yeah. They do the heavy lifting of engineering, the printed circuit board, the power delivery systems, and the cooling shrouds. Yet they capture the smallest slice of the industry's profit pie.
A 3 to 7% margin is virtually nothing. That means companies like Asus or MSI are essentially just assemblers held hostage by a silicon duopoly and a memory monopoly.
That's exactly what they are.
So if Samsung raises the price of memory by 20% and memory is now the most expensive part of the board, an AIB's tiny 5% profit margin isn't just erased, it goes completely negative.
Yep. The AIBs have confirmed to Tekken Analysis that maintaining previous retail MSRPs is economically impossible. They are forced into a 100% cost pass-through.
So the consumer absorbs the entire hit.
Every penny of it. They hand the higher cost directly to global retail partners like Amazon, Newegg, and Microcenter. Mm-hmm. And then those retailers have to adjust the listed MSRPs upward by 10 to 30% just to maintain their own margins for the end consumer.
So the AIBs have absolutely no shock absorbers. They can't eat the cost to win customer loyalty because there is literally no margin to eat.
None at all.
But, you know, if desktop parts are this insane, I'd honestly just give up. I'd bypass the custom PC tax entirely and just buy a pre-built desktop or a gaming laptop where the manufacturer buys parts in bulk. That should protect me, right?
You would think bulk purchasing offers protection, but the contagion is already spread there too. System integrators, the companies building pre-built gaming desktops, pull from the exact same limited silicon wafer pools.
Ah, of course.
And because their total system package pricing is elevated, it pushes consumers toward trying to build their own DIY PCs, which ironically increases demand for individual parts even more.
It's a vicious cycle. What about the mobile side, though? Because a lot of professionals rely on mobile workstations just to get their jobs done.
The mobile sector is getting hit just as hard. Mobile workstation and next-generation gaming laptop manufacturers are projecting a 15 to 25% price increase on new models. The scarcity applies universally across all form factors.
Which naturally pushes anyone on a budget straight into the secondary market, you know, to look for older, used graphics cards.
Which comes with its own massive risks. The resale market is seeing massive price inflation due to the overflow of demand. Buyers are paying elevated prices for prior generation hardware.
And you don't even know what you're getting.
Exactly. You are buying silicon that has potentially been subjected to thermal degradation, and you have absolutely zero warranty protection.
That is a terrifying prospect. You are paying a premium for a card that could die a month later. It really feels like every single avenue is just blocked right now.
It does. Actually, the Tekken Report features a direct quote from their senior semiconductor supply chain analysts that perfectly frames the severity of this.
Oh, what did they say?
They stated, quote, "VRAM price hikes are not temporary market fluctuations. They represent a fundamental structural shift in hardware economics. As long as enterprise AI demand dominates silicon allocation, consumer graphics hardware will carry elevated cost premiums," end quote.
Wow, so what does this all actually mean for you, the listener? If this isn't a temporary blip, and this really is a fundamental structural shift in global hardware economics, how do you actually survive this market? Because waiting around for a Black Friday sale clearly isn't going to cut it.
No, the market forecasts from International Semiconductor Research Institutes confirm that waiting is a dead strategy.
Really? Just dead in the water?
Yeah. Heavy capital expenditures by global tech corporations in AI have essentially pre-booked available silicon foundry capacity for the next 2 years. Market stabilization for NVIDIA's high-end won't happen until the second half of 2027. And AMD's mainstream cards might not stabilize until the first half of 2028.
So we are stuck with these inflated baselines for years.
Yes, we are.
So if a PC builder is forced to upgrade right now in 2026, they need a highly calibrated approach. What does the survival guide actually look like?
The very first step is radical honesty about your true resolution requirements. Are you gaming or rendering at 1080p, 1440p, or full 4K?
Because you can't just buy the biggest card anymore.
Exactly. The era of overbuying hardware just for the sake of future-proofing is over. You have to match the tool exactly to the workload.
And when you do match that tool, I noticed the tech and hardware team laid out a very rigid rule for this year. They said, do not buy a GPU with less than 12 gigabytes of VRAM in 2026.
That's right. The technical reasoning behind that 12 gigabyte floor is tied directly to modern engine architecture.
Right, like how games are actually built now.
Yes. Evolving game engines like Unreal Engine 5 load massive, uncompressed textures into the memory buffer. If your graphics card only has 8 gigabytes of VRAM and it fills up, the system is forced to page memory over to your system RAM.
And system RAM is way slower.
Incredibly slow compared to video RAM. It results in massive frame rate drops and stuttering. So buying anything under 12 gigabytes right now offers diminishing long-term value because the software demands have just outpaced it.
Okay, but let's say a listener maps out their resolution, accepts the 12 gigabyte rule, looks at those 2026 MSRPs, and simply decides they cannot justify a $650 entry point. What are the viable alternatives in the Tekken Matrix?
The most cost-effective alternative they mapped out is console migration.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Moving to closed ecosystem platforms like the PS5 Pro or the Switch 2 offers a fixed hardware cost with zero upgrade friction. But of course, the trade-off is restricted graphical customization and a hard cap on frame rates compared to a high-end PC.
Right. You completely lose the freedom and modularity of the PC ecosystem, but you build a fortress around your wallet. I imagine cloud gaming is the other major pivot point, especially with services like GeForce now maturing the way they have.
Absolutely. Cloud gaming allows you to pay a monthly subscription for access to top-tier server-grade GPUs without any upfront capital purchase. You dodge the entire VRAM inflation crisis.
Which is incredibly appealing right now.
It is, however, your experience becomes entirely dependent on network latency. If your internet stutters, your game stutters, you're basically trading hardware anxiety for bandwidth anxiety.
That is a great way to put it. But here's where it gets really interesting to me. Looking at the advice in this report, it feels like the entire industry is executing a massive pivot. We used to rely entirely on hardware muscle. You'd buy the biggest, most expensive graphics card with huge memory pools to brute force a game into looking good.
Right, the brute force approach.
But if the physical VRAM is simply too expensive because the AI industry is hoarding all the silicon wafers, companies are shifting away from hardware muscle and leaning into software brains.
That transition from physical rendering to algorithmic estimation is honestly the defining technological shift of this generation.
It's like trying to build a really fast race car, but massive V8 engines are suddenly way too expensive to manufacture. So instead, you put a much smaller, cheaper engine in the car, but you install an absolutely brilliant computer system that perfectly manages the aerodynamics, the tire slip, and the fuel injection so that it drives like a supercar anyway.
That's a spot-on analogy.
In the PC space, we are using AI image reconstruction technologies, things like DLSS4 and FSR4, to fake the heavy lifting. The software renders the image at a much lower internal resolution, which requires significantly less physical VRAM, and then uses AI tensor cores to upscale it and make it look pristine.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the explicit directive issued by the Techin editorial board. Their official position is that consumers must adapt by prioritizing this software-driven image reconstruction over brute force hardware.
It's basically mandatory now.
It really is. Adoption of DLSS and FSR is no longer just an optional feature to get higher frame rates. It is a structural necessity to offset the physical hardware limits imposed by the global supply chain.
It is a complete paradigm shift in how we think about computing power. Okay, let's bring this all together. If you are sitting there listening to this and you are frustrated by the state of the market, your feelings are completely validated. It is an incredibly hostile time to be a PC builder.
It really is.
The macroeconomics of global enterprise artificial intelligence have literally trickled all the way down the supply chain, bypassing the middlemen and landing squarely on the price tag of the graphics card sitting in your digital shopping cart.
Navigating this requires incredibly disciplined budget management. Aligning your actual performance requirements with the reality of the 2026 component pricing models and leaning heavily on software upscaling is really the only effective strategy moving forward.
It definitely forces you to rethink what you actually need versus what you just want. But it leaves me with one final thought, something I really want you, the listener, to mull over based on the sheer scale of the shift we've unpacked today. Well, if these physical hardware prices remain permanently elevated, if the foundries never pivot back to consumer graphics because enterprise AI companies have virtually infinite venture capital to outbid us for silicon real estate, what happens next? If our only realistic solutions going forward are migrating to cloud gaming or relying on AI software to fake the graphical heavy lifting, are we witnessing the slow death of the traditional, customizable personal computer?
Wow. That's a profound way to look at it.
Right, because if all the real heavy lifting computational power is eventually centralized in the cloud, will owning a physical, discrete graphics card soon become an obsolete boutique hobby that only the ultra-rich can afford? It's a heavy thought, but given the numbers we saw today, it's a question we have to start asking. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your wallet safe out there, do your research, and we will catch you on the next one.